But anyway, Ephesians chapter 2, we're talking about the prince of the power of the air, and we had some good illustrations of that actually this week. And did you start that already, brother? Okay. Thanks. Now I got to edit all that out. Make my job harder. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Sure you will. I'm just kidding. It doesn't matter. It doesn't take anything. It's just, I don't care. See, the longer I ramble, the worse it gets. So, all right, we've been talking about Satan and trying to understand actually what he's up to and how he works. And we talked about Satan, the god of this world, on Wednesday night. We talked on Sunday, we talked about last week, the anointed cherub that covereth. I hope you learned some things about that. Now, we're going to go into a different aspect here this week, and we're going to deal with Satan, the prince of the power of the air. To get a better understanding. Now, basically, we'll just state it in this message, the next hour, I will explain to you the methods of Satan and how he gets to God's people and the lost and what he does, how he works that through the prince of the power of the air. Let's pray. Father, we need you. Lord, I just pray that for clarity. I pray for understanding. I pray, Father, for you to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The apostle Paul is talking here about Satan and how he works on the lost and how, you know, he will eventually work on the saved as well. But he's explaining to you, this is what you were, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And we'll talk about how the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. Talked about that a little bit before, but we'll cover that again in the next hour. But the power of the air, the power of the air, this cosmos, this air, the heavenlies, so to speak, around in this world that we live in is where Satan executes most of his power. It's where he does most of his, it's from where he judges, so to speak, or from where he rules is from the air. He's that prince of the power of the air. That is how he rules. He is the god of this world system. He's the prince of the power, which means he is the ruler of the power of the air. Understand that. He rules in the air. And you're going to see the next hour when I show you some of those things of how Satan in the Bible, how it proves that this title of Satan, the prince of the power of the air, it proves it. And you get a better understanding of it from Scripture, obviously explaining it. Now, but I want to clear up some things so you understand a few things about Satan as far as Lucifer and what his power actually is. Number one, Satan is not omnipresent. He is not God. He is not omnipresent, but he has forces that work for him through the air. Satan is the god of this cosmos. He is called the prince of the power of the air and Beelzebub. He is the prince of the devils. He is the prince of those demons. That's what that word means, Beelzebub. It means prince of devils. Actually, it means, if you really want the technical term, and I think I cover that the next hour, it means lord of the flies. Now, I'll explain that later. I'm not going to go into it right this second, but it'll be interesting when we kind of tackle it. But lord of the flies is what that means. Wow. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? But anyway, so he has forces in the sky, or he has princes in the sky that work for him against God. He has those that work in that prince of the power of the air. His forces work through the air. That's how he does it. He has a vast amount of control that people don't realize of this world. We underestimate him too much. That's why when you see us go out and we preach in the open air, well, you've never seen anybody come up while I was preaching here in the house of God, have you, and stand on their head? I don't think. Maybe you want to put me on my head sometimes, but you might want to stand on your head sometimes. You might want to stop your ears and gnash with your teeth, but you don't do that. Why? Well, because this is the house of God. Amen? This is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So the behavior is going to be different here than it is in that of the world. But when I get out in the world, oh man, I'm right there where the prince of the power of the air rules. Now, of course, he can afflict the people of God through the air in here too. I'm not saying that, but it's not likely. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He don't stick around. He don't want to be here for any reason. You know, he doesn't want to stick around here. Not where the word of God is proclaimed and lived out. He might try to tempt in some other things. We'll talk about that. But he doesn't want to be here. for that. He didn't want to stick around for those things. He hates the Word of God. When it comes around, he gets out. He gets away. Anyway, but remember also when Jesus dealt with spirits, it was different than when he dealt with Satan. Remember that? The devil never challenged the Lord. Did you notice that? They would always ask him. They would, in fear, they would tremble, wouldn't they? They would tremble. And they would be like, hey, what are you doing here? Why are you here? You know, Satan doesn't have that. Have you noticed how Lucifer or Satan, when he meets with Jesus, he doesn't act like that. He doesn't act scared at all, does he? Why? Because he's the God of this world and he knows it. He knows where he has dominion. He knows where he has authority. He knows he's the prince of the power of the air. He understands that. So he doesn't have the same attitude towards Jesus Christ. Now, those devils understood it. Whoa. But see, Satan knows that Christ is not going to cast him into the abode right now, into the abyss. He knows it. See, he knows this book better than you do, because he actually reads it. Ouch. He actually reads it, so he knows the Word of God. He understands it. Sure, he gets it. So he knows Jesus Christ isn't going to cast him into the abyss right now. He understands that. So when he stood, but those devils didn't know that because there was no proclamation for them. So he could have cast them into the abyss anytime he wanted to. But he didn't. He chose to put them in something else. Satan has a great number of unclean spirits that work for him. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 24, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? I love that. Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. So it's clear here that these unclean spirits who have no bodies but can kind of float around through the air, through anything, they are confined to this earth. They are not allowed to go anywhere else. They are imprisoned to this earth. They wanted this earth. They got this earth. They wanted to live here. They wanted to live forever on this earth. They wanted to have an extended life on this earth. Now, it doesn't matter, but there are a few different theories on who these devils are, the demons, as the modern term, who they are. Some believe that they're the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, of the sons of God and the daughters of men, which I happen to believe that's who they are. Personally, there are others that believe that they are fallen angels, which I do not believe, because fallen angels have power and they're able to go wherever they want to. I never see in Scripture where they're not allowed to. Either way, it doesn't matter. There's other theories that they could have been. Now, there's the pre-Adamic theory that believes the gap theory that believes that they were around before that this earth was populated before. I don't believe that because Revelation chapter 20, I think it is, clears that up because it says the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. So see, there was only one that was passed away. There wasn't two that was passed away. So that doesn't make any sense either. But anyway, so I have to believe they are those. Now, we could debate that, and I wouldn't live or die on that statement. I'm just saying that it doesn't matter. Whatever they are, they're devils, they're unclean spirits, and they work for the devil. He's the prince of them. It means he's the lord of the fly, the prince of the power of the air. That's what that means. He is the lord of the fly. Now, there are other people that have theories about that, and there are some preachers that have said that they believe that devils or those demons are little winged creatures or something like that. And I've heard all that stuff. That can't be backed up by any Bible, clearly. However, this word does mean Lord of the Flies, which I believe what it means is that the Lord of that cosmos in the air where they do their work, because they're not confined. They can work in this atmosphere, in this air. They can work wherever the air goes. And they can do whatever they want, seemingly, basically, through this system here. Now, they can't leave this world. They can't go to heaven or anything like that. That's why I don't believe these devils are fallen angels, because fallen angels do have they can go. You know, the prince of the power of the air or the prince of Persia and others that they were battling. So anyway, but We see here that we are legion, we are many, thousands of devils were in that man. If you don't understand what legions are, we are legion, we are many, so there's thousands that are there in one man. So we understand there's millions of these devils around, unclean spirits around, we believe, or at least hundreds of thousands. We don't know the exact number, but there's a whole lot of them out there. And they are everywhere. And Satan, as the prince of the power of the air, has dominion over them. Remember, they are trapped here, and he has dominion over them. Because he has dominion over all those things, and they work for him. So those that can fly through the air, they have no body, but they roam the earth. Now, if these have the guard of a certain area, they can report back to that prince. Just like the sons of God that presented themselves before the Lord did. You see how Satan mimics the very kingdom of God? There was a day when the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord, the Bible says. Those are the angels. There was a day that they presented themselves before the Lord. Well, I believe there's a day that these present themselves before the Lord of the flies, the Lord of the demons, the Lord of the devils, Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. See, prince is the highest ranking besides sovereign Lord of all, Jesus Christ. Amen? So he is the prince of this world and is able to do what he does. So anyway, again, he has princes that rule in the air and report to him as the prince of Persia, the prince of Grecia. You've seen that in the book of Daniel. We talk about that. We've talked about that extensively. I'll not get into that again. But that's part of his power. That's part of his control. He's not omnipresent, but with millions of demons and fallen angels at his beck and call or working for him, it's not hard to see how he can find out what's going on, who to afflict, who to go after. And he doesn't have to afflict you. He can send a messenger in the flesh to afflict you. He doesn't have to do it. Devils love to afflict you. I mean, why would they love to? If you're a child of God, demons love to afflict you. They hate you. They want to take your family down. They want to destroy you. That's just that they hate everything you stand for. If you stand for Jesus Christ, they hate you. It's a war, folks. I just wish people would wake up and understand this is a war. It's a spiritual war. While you're here on this life, you were created to glorify God. And by doing so, by being saved, you are here to war against the devil until you die. That is why you are here, to glorify God and to war against the devil until you're done, until you're off this planet, until you're in the next world, or in the next life. That's what you're here for. Now, next, Satan is not omniscient, but he is the prince of the power of the air, which means he cannot know everything, but again, he has millions reporting to him. He's not God. He's not omniscient. God knows everything. That means all-knowing. Scripture shows us that he was able to reach the mind and heart of people. We'll explore that in the next sermon, but he illustrates it over and over again in Scripture how he had that power. But he also he's a ruler over others that will come and tempt you and listen to what you have to say and have access. You have to understand something. Satan is a master at, I don't believe he can know your every thought like God does. But what I believe he is a master of is watching you. Because whatsoever's in the heart cometh out. So if I wanted to tempt you with something, which we'll talk about the next hour, if I was the devil or demons or devils and I'm watching you, then I could tempt you because I see what you respond to. I see how you act. I see your motions. I see your activity. I see what comes out of your heart by your actions. So then I know how to tempt you better. He doesn't have to be all-knowing, omniscient to do that. He could just watch you and observe you. And devils can just watch you and observe you and see how you act and then tempt you accordingly. Doesn't that make sense? They appeal to your flesh. They watch what you do, and they appeal to it. You say, oh, no, it's just my own heart. Well, you can think that all you want to, friend, but the Lord is very clear that the devil and his fallen angels and those demons are working nonstop against you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not a flesh and blood battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's spiritual. Scripture shows us that he was able to reach that of the mind and heart of others. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So he knows that, and his devils know that, and they know they have the power to speak to you through different ways. You and I have all of us here in this room have thoughts come into our head that we weren't even thinking about. Right? We weren't concentrating on any of that. But it just comes through. I didn't even think about that. I wasn't thinking on those things. Yeah. Satan is not omnipotent either, but he has a lot of power. He is not omnipotent. He's not God. He's not all powerful. Being the prince of the world, though, he has the power to use all that is in his hand to move against you. He has everything in this world. He has every way, every means in this world to use against you. He can use the forces of nature against you as he did with Job, which we'll talk about, and did with others. He could use the forces of nature against you. He can kill like he did Job's children, but not Job. See, he wanted to get at Job, and he wanted to bring a godly man down, so what did he do? He killed his kids. Oh, God didn't tell me I couldn't kill his kids. Crafty, wicked one. God didn't tell me I couldn't kill his children, so I'm going to kill his children. And that'll make a godly man fall. I can't take his life, but I can kill his wife. I'm not talking about Job, I'm just giving you an example. I could stricken somebody's wife with cancer to get their job, get their life off of God, to sway them from being a Christian, to give up hope and walk away and say, I'm done. God didn't look out for me, I'm done. Right? He has power to do that. He has power to kill. Yeah. Just kill somebody you love, and then that sends you in a different that sends you into grieving. It sends you into remorse. It sends you into tears and sadness. And what can that do? Well, if you don't walk with God, it'll lead you astray. And then he wins. Even so much that Job's wife, under the grief that she was in, just said, "Why don't you just curse God and die? You don't have to go through this anymore. Just curse him and die." He can raise up armies in wars and be a lying spirit. He has that power to do that. He's the prince of the power of the air. He has that power. He can use storms, and he can use storms, and he can use weather, which we're going to illustrate in the next hour. And he can use vices. He can use things that will entice you to sin. He can have you locked in prison. He can afflict your flesh as a thorn. He can bring fear and doubts and oppression. He can cause sickness and pain to come to you. He can give terrible nightmares and visions of wickedness to you. I mean, in the account of Job, you read about a spirit that came to one that when he was in the back of his hair stood up, and he was fearful and he was scared. I read you those verses before, and Job talked about that. He can give terror. He has the power to accuse you. He can just accuse your conscience. He actually has the power to get you to believe that you've done something wrong when you really haven't. Amen. He can afflict your conscience and bring things up to you to where you will finally believe that you've done something you haven't even done. Amen. He is not all powerful, but he does carry a lot of power. He is still that anointed cherub that covereth. He is still the God of this world. He is still the Lord of the flies. He's still the prince of the power of the air. But Satan is not sovereign like the Almighty God. He is not a sovereign ruler of all. He cannot rule over the children of God. We can resist him with the word of God, and he will flee from us. We can draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to us. He is not supreme ruler as God is. He is mighty. He is a mighty foe, but he is not the Almighty. He is the prince of the power of the air, but Christ is Lord over all. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Satan will indwell and has the power to indwell through the prince of the power of the air. That's part of what was given to him, his authority that was given to him. In John chapter 13 and verse number 27, "And after the sop Satan entered him, then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly." Satan will also mimic the Trinity. He has the power to do that. He'll have the power to give life unto the image of the beast. "And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" He will mimic the Trinity by his own evil trinity of the Antichrist, Satan, and the false prophet. He will mimic that Godhead. He will be a false Godhead. and he will mimic that, and people will believe it. He has the ability to do all of these things, but he does not have the attributes of God. That's what you have to understand. But he is a master at mimicking the attributes of God. Okay? He is the prince of the power of the air, so that's what gives him his power to be able to mimic a lot of those attributes that God has. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. In him we live and move and have our being, the Bible says. God is everywhere. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I ascend to the heights of heaven, thou art there. Amen? He's everywhere. God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. Satan is not, but he has a lot of power. Through that prince of the power of the air. He has that power. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. But he's a master. He's a topographer. He's a master at studying the land, studying the air out, watching you and watching your motives and your moves. And not only him, but his devils, watching and seeing how he could lead you to fall. Looking for a place. Give no place to the devil, the Bible says. But looking for a place to enter in. To your house, to your conscience, to your family, amen? To your church. Looking for a place. Looking to use something to make you mad enough that you'll quit on God and walk away from church and never come back again. Make an offense that somebody offended you with. Make it a great, huge thing so you walk away and never want to come back again. Make a disagreement turn into something huge that you want nothing to do with God anymore. What is that? He just picks at it. Yeah, you know, that's really rotten. That preacher said this. I'm going to get mad. I'm not coming back. And you start thinking about it. And he says, yeah, I don't think he should either. And you start, the thoughts just start coming in and coming in and coming in. Pretty soon, man, you're done. You're on your way out. Why? Devil. The devil used one thing to try to afflict you. And he's a master of it. And you have to understand that you cannot let him win that battle. You cannot let him get the victory over that. Because he will use something. Listen, a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, a mother, a father, we're fallen men. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. We're going to have to deal with it. We're going to have problems. We're not going to handle everything right. Everything I say from this pulpit is not going to be pleasant. Sometimes I'm going to say things wrong that I'm going to have to correct. Sometimes I say things that don't even realize I said them. That's what happens when you talk so much. Amen. But the devil will use that if we're not careful. Why? Because he wants to see you away. He wants to see you get out of line with God. He wants to use that so you know what it is? It's teaching rebellion, and he wants you to rebel against that. Oh, you can't. You know this. Oh, I can't handle this anymore. I'm gone. What is that? It's rebellion. I mean, we're not always going to agree on everything here. Nope, we won't. But we don't have to, do we? I'm not looking for many robots of myself. Amen. You think about it, though. He uses it. He uses all these things. Why? Because he has access to it. He's the prince of the power of the air, and he has access to you through the air. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about it. His method of execution the next hour. How he executes that power. How he does it through the air. We know he does it. I just wanted to clear up some things and make sure you understood that he's not God, so he does not have all the attributes of God. Amen? He doesn't have that power. But he is a formidable foe and none that we can fight on our own.